Disociatīvā fūga. Sarunas par kino. Katru otro sestdienu, trijos. Sveicināt radio klausītāji, vajadzētu būt tā, ka ir pulkstens 3 un ir sestdiena, jo skan raidījums disociatīvā fūga. Un šoreiz es sarunāšos ar lietuviešu režisoru Laurīnasu Bareiša. Mēs runājam viesnīcas lobijā, jo nu, viņam te ir diezgan saspringts grafiks Rīgas starptautiskā kinofestivāla ietvaros. Nu, tad nu, nebūs varbūt tāda izcila studijas skaņa. Mēs runāsim par viņu jaunāko filmu, kas ir Lietuvas un Latvijas kopražojums, Sausis slīkstot, starptautiski Drowning Dry. Un tas ir tāda mūsdiena drāma par divām māsām un viņu vīriem un ģimenēm, respektīvi. Un tad viņi satiekas tādā, viņi apmetās, laikam tādās brīvdienās, lauku mājā. Un sākumā viss ir tā diezgan idīliski, bet kā jau tādās filmās, kur ir tāda lokāla vieta, tur parasti tūlītās viss sākās slikti, un pamazām viņu starpā tā kā veidojas tāda sansensība. Un tad notiek notikums, pēc kura vairs neviens nevar dzīvot tā kā iepriekš. Režisors pastāsta par to, kāpēc izvēlējies tādu nosaukumu, sausas līkstot, kas nozīmē vienlaikus medicīnisku terminu, kas apzīmē elpošanas problēmas, un otrs puses apraksta stāvokli, kāds ir pārim dzīvojot kopā, līdzās vienam otru nedzirdot un nepaužot emocijas līdz stāvoklis, kļūst aizvien sliktāks un sliktāks. Un viņš arī pastāsta par filmēšanas procesu, cik svarīgi būt mazā komandā, atbalstošā komandā, kur viens otru saprot. Viņš bija vienlaikus gan operators, gan režisors, un nācās sadalīt uzmanību uz šiem abiem departamentiem, kas sākotnēji bija sarežģīti, tomēr viņi spēja to tā nomenedžēt. Un filma ir uzrakstīta kā nelineārs stāsts, un daudzas epizodes filmēšanas procesā tika risināts pat uz vietas filmēšanas laukumā, kas bija vērtīgi, un tā kā bija tā grupa tāda atbalstoša, tad viņi to varēja tā paveikt. Un režisors pastāst arī to, ka cik svarīgi nākot no tādas mazas valsts kā Lietuva nepazaudēt savu balsi lielajā pasaules filmu, tajā jūklī, un tieši novērtēt to, ka tu esi tāds īpašs, atšķirīgs un cienīt savu īpašo balsi.
Jā, es sveicu Laurīnas.
Oh, jā.
I saw your film last night. I was very inspired about this, about your film, and I would like you to ask some questions about your creative process. For, first of all, the title, Drowning Dry, this works very well, and which metaphorical meaning do you have to this name?
It started as just a name of a condition that the girl suffers when she is suffocating. It's called second drowning or dry drowning. Or also, I wanted to keep it for the international title because it kind of relates to the relationship of the couples. You know, this kind of on the surface, everything's okay, but inside you see it kind of deteriorating and kind of getting they're like suffocating in the sense of like they're not seeing each other, not listening to each other, and everything slowly getting worse and worse in their kind of how we see each other as people. So I like to use that as a metaphor of not like what can happen if you're not attentive to your kind of other persons around you, like the close family.
Mm-hmm. For me, it was drowning in silence.
Yeah.
They cannot talk. Why they cannot talk?
Because we don't listen. We don't see each other. Like, we have different reasons. Like, for example, Lucas, the fighter guy, I think he just didn't develop this, I think, characteristic of a person. He just into himself and into his work and into his body, and then he's kind of closed off, he doesn't see other people. And for example, Gedrus, he sees himself from a point of view of other people, he's more conscious about himself And then he kind of forgets that other people are conscious about themselves also. So it's not just you. And the different, for example, I see Justa as a person who's like, who's a pre-depression stage, like very early signs of like depression, and she's also locked in herself about her worries and about her, like this kind of, this happens to young parents, you know, where you have a kid and the fear overtakes you, you know, the responsibility and burden. Yeah, and I think the only one like who's conscious, I think, is Ernesta, but she's like the youngest one, and like, so but she's the one who perseveres, who kind of keeps her hope and keeps her strength. So mm-hmm. I find power in like watching other people and realizing that you're like you're inside the community.
I think maybe this is also in our culture because our parents also are not talking.
Yeah, but it's a generational trauma, so.
It is so.
And what draws you to tell stories with this ethical and moral dilemma?
I think this is just a feeling for the story, because I start from something I want to explore in sense of, like, cinema. And for this film, I wanted to kind of think about how our memory works and how these, like the starting point, this almost tragic event, like she drowns but she doesn't drown and they resuscitate her, and but it's like it could have happened, it could have been like a tragic event but it wasn't, and how we deal with it, because it also these things are very interesting, like it's almost tragic, and how we kind of how all of these characters interact with this event and what it leads to. So I wanted to explore this kind of relationship with this one moment that it's kind of, it changes everything, and these, all of these characters and stuff just come from the life I see around me. I just work in layers. I start with this conceptual layer about the structure of a film and how we move through time and through space and how it goes into the film, and then the characters, they get the life of their, like, yeah, I get them from what I see around me. Also, the actors bring a lot. Like, for example, Lucas, the fighter character, I just had an idea about him. He was in a script, but then when Paulus came in, he created this character by himself, because he transformed physically into this character. And we didn't have a lot of discussions like who will he be. He kind of took everything from his training sessions, from people he met, and he just made this character his own. And I didn't have a lot of command for this, because I, you know, he is physically in this character. He is physically in the room training, so I kind of trusted him. So this is also the process, like I tried to gather actors who kind of take the character for... They're responsible for a character, and we discuss things. Of course, there's a structure, there's a script, but we kind of all the I don't micromanage the details of a character, so it all grows around this.
Disociatīvā fūga. Sarunas par kino. Katru otro sestdienu, trijos.
And how I understood, I read about this, you know very good what you are talking, because this is things from your life that you are telling in the story. This.
From my life and from other, like this is not an autobiographical story. These things didn't happen to me. Something similar maybe, but I kind of develop on this one idea I have, and then I develop the whole project around it. So this was this idea of how do you confront an event like this? And then I just work. Yeah, I start with script. I really like script writing. Just developing the project on the page. And then the casting process. And then the visual comes last. And it comes for this film. It was I left a lot to work on the set, because I was also like a cinematographer, so I could do changes there just to see what happens. We even had like a week to improvise, do new scenes, reshoot other scenes. We had we had an opening in the schedule to work, like to have time to maybe add something or change something. Yeah.
But in the script, you wrote this online unlinear.
Yeah, it was in the script. Yeah. But on the set, we had time to work on the scenes. Like we had the structure, we had all the time jumps. They were precise. We did it like in the script, but what happens in the scene during this, especially the summer weekend, we changed a lot, like what their moods were, what their relationships were, how they reacted, especially what they did like when they're alone. So we kind of worked on that.
Mm-hmm. It was good possibility. It was not very big group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how you could manage being a director, and also how you can manage all this?
I'm
being DOP.
Yeah, we started. It was a bit chaotic when we started because, like, you know, when you see cut, the director goes to the actors, the DOP goes to the crew. So at first there was a bit of commotion, but actually it helped that there were like a group of actors, so we kind of we understood that it will not be as intense as like in a normal shooting with it. So we kind of talked to each other. The crew also was patient, and I had a very good first AD for the summer session. It was Robert Snavatska and Asteris Galiani. So we both kind of understood that there's no rush, but that we decide how much we need and we can take our time. So at first I ran a lot, but from one side to the other, and yeah. But then I kind of settled, and it was good.
Yeah, somewhere I read best directors, not only directors, also preachers, are those people which has one more education before. And how is your maybe helps your mathematician thinking?
Maybe, yeah, it helped me maybe to settle a bit. Because I see sometimes students in film school, they, you know, you come. I didn't come from a capital. I came from the second city, Kaunas. So yeah, the mathematician education got me through this all late adolescence, and also gave me maybe structure, maybe some. I don't know. I'm not afraid of learning stuff because like mathematics, the 4 years were like very hard, but it also gave me I don't know, I don't fear like learning new stuff and new concepts and creating my own like structure and system, because mathematics gave me an ability to work with all these abstract stuff.
How you go through when you feel you are failed, for example? Or are you not very emotional person?
I am emotional. I had bad times. For this film, I had like a hard period after editing, before, like, but it's for all the filmmakers, this period after you finished editing and before your premiere, is kind of, you don't know where you're at, you don't know the level of the film. So that was a bit hard, but I don't know. I have a good support group in Lithuania. We have a lot of directors that were friends. And producer is a good friend of mine, and my closest friends are filmmakers. And we kind of support each other because, like, I actually feel like in Lithuania we have a good close community, and there's not a lot of like bad feelings you can get.
You are on the same page.
We're all doing different things. Everyone's quite distinct thematically and also visually, so we kind of just support each other as filmmakers, and then it's very interesting to see what happens with their films, and we kind of, yeah. So I feel that helps a lot, like having a healthy relationship with your colleagues.
And you make so unique topic, like fragile masculinity. Something very interesting.
Yeah. But also topical, like a lot of men deal with their, like, how do they see themselves in this kind of changing world.
And for me it's important, you come from a small place, like I come from a small place, but how you can keep your Lithuanian voice in cinematography?
Yeah, but I think it's like you can keep it by respecting yourself, like, but because like I think a lot of filmmakers when you go out abroad they come from their own place and they kind of, I think it's important to understand that it's not, it's a bit counterintuitive, you know, like when you kind of realize that there's worth and what, because like everyone has their own problems, yeah, but also we connect with films from far away, yeah, and we connect with films like of Hong Sang-soo, you know, and he's like 10, how far is Korea? Well, it's far, but you connect with people. So I think if you're honest and you're authentic and you kind of do your own thing, you can find your own voice. And that's important, like for students, because I think we live in this kind of minefield of different cultures, big cultures trying to superimpose a lot of stuff, and it can become difficult when you borrow too much from like big filmmakers or big like movements in cinema, because then you kind of lose your own voice and you lose in two ways. You know, you get, you know, your film become predictable, and also you kind of lose an opportunity to discover something about yourself, because I think it's important to tell like topics that are important for us, but also the way we tell us, you know, there's different form, as all the languages have different forms, and these languages have, you know, like ways of thinking are embedded in the language structure, you know, what words we have, what genders we have. That's also visually, like we can tell our stories in a way that's only for us, you know, how we understand, like Latvians, Lithuanian, Baltic countries. But that's a good thing, you know, because then we can translate to the world that we have a way of thinking, and we're not connected to, like we're not part of this other bigger cultural like hegemonies that kind of overtake our, that they don't have our interests in mind. You know, you can incorporate the small culture and then you can try to incorporate it as a whole into something. But we actually do have, like, we all of the smaller cultures do have something to say, because it's important, because we kind of, we shouldn't be, we have to have some self-respect to ourselves, then we will be respected around the world, because there's, we cannot like compete in how many films we make or how big the films are, but we have ideas, you know, on the idea level and on the conceptual level, I think we can do what good important things for.
What, like, do you think about this postmodern sentence, life makes art, makes life?
Yeah, it's a, like, it's a process, yeah. And also, like, art is very important for the creation of, like, these healthy societies. You know, you have your own art, you reflect your own experience, this experience translates into a wider society, then it it inspires filmmakers and artists. And it's important to keep it rolling, the discussion between your local community and your local artists, not be only going, seeing what's happening abroad, you know. I think the important thing is to reflect your own.
Mm-hmm. Why people are going to cinema?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, it's the best way to emphasize, to see other people, you know, you see, because it's kind of, for me, it's the most, it's still the most immersive art form, you know. It's like 2 hours in a dark room, and you kind of give all yourself away, and cinema creates, cinema can create different like combinations of sound and visual and story that you cannot reduce back to words. You know, it can become a difficult emotion that you kind of can take from the film. You cannot put it in words, but it affects you, and then you can think about what's happening with your life and what you kind of, what you felt.
cinema can be therapy also.
What?
Cinema can be therapy.
In a way, yeah, but also I think cinema can, it's more of a where you can discover something and then you can use it in like thinking about your own experience, because it's all our human experience, you know.
Thank you for conversation.
Thank you, yeah. Bye. I hope it's not too long.
Tas bija raidījums disociatīvā fūga Rīgas starptautiskā kinofestivāla ietvaros. Mani sauc Ieva Ozoliņa un es sarunājos ar lietuviešu režisoru Laurīnas Bareiša.
Disociatīvā fūga. Sarunas par kino. Katru otro sestdienu trijos.